present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel gaze. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today at the Theatre Royal in Plymouth, a fine city boasting a long history and rich culture. The town is first recorded in cave drawings by local Celts when they noticed an Iron Age tribe had arrived here to mine ore and smelt in a basic fashion. To be fair, this was before the invention of bathrooms. Probably Plymouth's most celebrated son is Sir Francis Drake. Sailing for the Caribbean in 1577, Drake and his men fought their way through 100 leagues of the Spanish Main, ending a solid season as runners-up in Division Two. When Drake returned home in triumph the following year, the delighted townsfolk swarmed out to greet him, dancing all the way from St. Andrew's Cross to the famous Plymouth Sound. Although it's said that Drake himself preferred the R&B-derived Mersey beat. Steeped as it is in the history of seafaring, Plymouth attracts many visitors in search of ancient wrecks. Some less important examples can sit ignored for years, but still hold a small grain of historical interest for those prepared to look. Let's meet the teams. They are on my left. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Tony Hawks. And taking up her position, ready to look after the team's points, please welcome our scorer, the very lovely Samantha. We'll start with a game called Ecclesiastical Chat-Up Lines, in which the teams will be suggesting useful chat-up lines for vicars, priests, and other members of the clergy. Incidentally, while we're on a religious bent, I must refute the rumour that one of our team members walks on water. Although it's true that Barry Cryer runs on lager. Okay, will you suggest the first ecclesiastical chat-up line, please? Tim.
I say, now that's a habit I wouldn't mind getting into.
Tony.
How about, I can think of something I'd like you to alter, boy.
Graham?
Hello, would you like to be one of the lay sisterhood?
If anyone can, the canon can.
You'll find that I move in mysterious ways.
Please kneel, and while you're kneeling...
I've got a jacuzzi font.
When you've done pulling the bells...
You stay here, I'll go and change. My vests are in the pantry and my pants are in the bedroom.
Good Friday, I'll make it even better.
Right, get your habit, you fooled.
It's time for a musical round now called One Song to the Tune of Another, a concept which is almost too simple for words. Without a trace of ostentation and offering no more than plain, uncomplicated straightforwardness, the difficulty of the round lies only in finding les mots justes to describe its lack of pretension and complication, or the ease and clarity which embrace its artless elementalism. Indeed, it's this very lack of convoluted ramification that makes excessive detailed description not only unnecessary, but also superfluous to a point bordering on the tautological. It's impossible to describe its lack of advanced, over-contrived, complex compound structure, or its total avoidance of extravagantly woven sophistry in mere words. these conventional catalysts so expeditious to verbal facility, that elucidate conceptual comprehension succinctly and without recourse to extraneous elaboration. If only everything in life was so simple. And here's something even harder to explain. Colin Sell at the piano. Graham, we'll start with you, Graham. Would you please sing the words of Fog on the Tyne to the tune of English Country Garden?
A sitting in a sleazy snack bar, sucking sickly sausage rolls, slipping down slowly, slipping down sideways, then I'll sign off the dole. The fog on the Tyne is all mine, all mine. The fog on the Tyne is all mine. The fog on the Tyne is all mine, all mine. The fog on the Tyne is all mine.
Tim, now, will you sing the words of Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves to the tune of The Teddy Bear's Picnic?
Now, there was a time when they used to say that behind every great man there had to be a great woman. But in these times of change, you know that it's no longer true. So we're coming out of the kitchen, cause there's something we forgot to say to you. Sisters are doing it for themselves, standing on their own 2 feet and ringing on their own bells. Sisters are doing it for themselves. Now this is a song to celebrate the conscious liberation of the female stairs and daughters and the daughters too. Woman to woman, woman to woman, we're singing with you. The inferior sex got a new exterior. We've got doctors, lawyers, politicians too. Everybody take a look round. Can you see? Can you see?
Yeah! Right, it's your turn, Barry. Would you please sing the words of Stevie Wonder's lovely song, I Just Called to Say I Love You, to the tune of Leaning on a Lamppost?
I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care. I just called to say I love you and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. No April rain, no flowers bloom, no wedding Saturday within the month of June. What it is something true made up of these three words that I must say to you. I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care. I just called to say I love you. Turn that nice again.
Finally, Tony, would you sing the words of Harry Nilsson's Without You to the tune of the Can-Can?
Well, I can't forget this evening and your face as you were leaving, but I guess that's just the way the story goes. You always marveled in your eyes, your sorrow shows. Yes, it shows that I can't forget tomorrow. When I think about my sorrow, when I had you there, my dear, then I let you go, and now it's only fair that I should let you know what you should know. If I can't live for living it without you, I can't live without you, I can't live, I can't live, I can't live if living is without you. I can't live, I can't live anymore. I can't live if living is without you. I can't live without you. I can't give, I can't give anymore.
That was great. Listeners who also enjoy television will have been dismayed by the recent news that the long-running One Man and His Dog series has been axed. So few other shows have ever matched the pleasure and excitement of watching a man in a field whistling while a dog chases sheep. It makes my blood boil to think that this fine program is to go, no doubt to be replaced by something really dull. If it's dull I want, I can go and do some decorating or tidy up the garden. I wouldn't be surprised if they put those on TV next. Anyway, to keep a bit of the old magic alive, I'm pleased to say I've managed to secure the radio format of One Man and His Dog. Teams, I'd like you please... I'd like you please to take it in turns to herd your sheep. One team will be the shepherd and his dog. The opposing team will provide a commentary for the benefit of listeners at home. So, Tim and Tony, first I'd like you to herd your sheep. Barry and Graham will provide the commentary. Okay, Barry and Graham, start commentating, please.
Beautiful day.
Yes, well, now let's see who's next up. Oh, I see. Oh,
Come boy now.
A great favourite. It's old Bob Tackett. And his dog Tiddles. He'll lose points for that. And they're off. They're off. They're away to the sheep.
There's two fellas keep doing that. You can't hear the sheep.
Come away.
There's Bob with his dog. Dog's called Fluffy, by the way. And,
woof, woof.
Isn't that the dog that sings, Graham?
It's the famous singing dog, is Fluffy. Yeah, yeah. He's taken them through the sheep dip and, is that guacamole, is it?
No, no.
But, a bit of a character is Bob with his farmyard impressions.
We're probably going to get his Tommy Cooper in a minute.
Just like that.
Oh, no, we're not.
Oh. Fluffy's driving the sheep along there now. Oh, Fluffy, mirror signal maneuver. He's got that all wrong. He's got to get them into the through the hurdles there, 100 metres in 13.6 is not bad. And into the pen at the end. Think he'll do it?
I've no idea. They've got Tomb Raider 2 to do yet.
And they better be careful of that disused mine shaft.
It's your turn to be the sheep and shepherd now, Barry and Graham. Will you please start the commentary now, Tim and Tony?
They're out of the pen. Mm-hmm. And they're on the bus.
Yeah. That's unconventional, that. Yeah, but that's...
Upstairs, boy.
Oh, dear, that's excited the nutter on the bus, and he started singing.
Yeah, not a singing. Who would have thought he'd have known the second verse of the Greek national anthem?
And that the sheep would join in.
Put your muzzle on, boy. Put your muzzle on.
And the weather outside is awful. Lee Good.
That wasn't thunder... It's all right, boy, there wasn't thunder, that was just me eating crisps. It's all right.
The birds are singing.
The hills are alive.
The clouds are scudding by.
Scud, scud.
Oh, look, the nutter's come back, and would you believe it?
He's got them all in the pen. Well done indeed.
Time to move on to a game called Word for Word. This is where one team attempt to utter a series of completely unconnected words, while the opposing team can challenge if it detects a connection. So, for example, if the words lady and Thatcher were followed by the words grip and reality... that would be perfectly acceptable. Okay, Barry and Graham, fingers on buzzers, please. Tim and Tony, I'd like you to start exchanging random words. Off you go.
Gorse.
Revolution.
Pilgrim.
Glove puppet.
Challenge that from Graham.
There's a connection between glove and puppet.
Yeah. What would that be?
Well, as in glove puppet.
Ah, you got me there. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Clever.
Nothing gets by him.
No.
Where were we?
Plymouth, Plymouth.
Carry on.
Who?
I don't know. Carry on, Tim.
Thank you. Dog.
Box.
What?
Sorry. What?
Didn't hear that. Not that it matters whether I hear it or not.
Shall we do a repeat of that? I'll
yes,
start
please
again
do.
With dog.
Challenge from Graham.
Repetition.
Thank goodness you didn't say deviation.
No, I can't allow that.
Before I said that.
Carry on, Tony. Oh.
Cufflinks.
Flippers.
Trousers.
Mask.
Barry?
This all happened at the same party the night before last. Obvious connection.
Bloody good party, though, wasn't it?
Started off as a constituency meeting and got out of hand.
Very good challenge there, Baring.
Thank you, Harvey.
Well done.
Thank you very much indeed.
Carry on.
You icon. What?
What did you call him?
I was ingratiating myself with Hump. Icon.
You can what?
I can swim, I can ride a bicycle, I can Tina Turner. Connection. I'm rambling now.
Well, that seems a good point to go on to the next. Our next game is all about famous names. Tim was saying earlier that after dinner at Michael Caine's house last week, both Tom Cruise and Julia Roberts confided in him how much they detest Weasley little name droppers. All the same, it was nice of them to pop out and see how he was getting on with the dishes. And Tim's priceless showbiz anecdote inspired this new round called Name Droppers. In it, the teams will attempt surreptitiously to include the names of famous celebrities in day-to-day conversation. Points will be awarded commensurate to the weight of names successfully dropped. On a scale of up to 10 for a Greta Garbo, a Frank Sinatra, or a Humphrey Littleton, down to 1 for a Wincy Willis or a Bob Holness. Richard Whiteley name score is in the second place of decimals. While a Nicholas Parsons will get you disqualified and drug tested. So, while I go off to the medical unit, I'd like Barry and Graham to start, please. Tim and Tony should make a note of any famous names they hear. Off you go, Barry and Graham.
Went to the Chinese last night. Went to the Chinese.
Did you?
Yeah, got singing waiters now.
Nah.
They have my chi and my lee. My chi sings Carol Smiley, doesn't. Loses a little in the translation, I think.
Yes, well, my nephew's been a bit of a problem. He's such a selfish boy. I say to him, you know, be fair, sonny, and share your toys.
Yes, quite right, too. Yeah. Quite right, too.
Would you believe it? Look over there. Look at all those vicars with no trousers or underpants on.
Good gracious.
It's a disgrace, is that? They should be locked up in a Nicholas Cage.
Yeah, indeed.
Did you read about that plan to fill Jupiter's surface with green cheese?
I did. Yeah, I did. Yes. Read about it in France, actually. I went to a former province of northern France.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, yes. I needed some cash, so I changed my Frank Sinatra. And, oh, here's my bus.
Speaking of francs and money, I'm just making out my shopping list. Lou Rolls.
Yes, yes.
Oh, do you hear that? Was that Dorothy Tootin?
The only one I spotted was Slobodan Milosevic.
Yeah, I didn't even spot that one, to be honest.
Nor can NATO.
Okay, let's try that the other way around now. Keep an ear out, Barry and Graham. Tim and Tony, start your name dropping now, please.
Hello, Tony.
Oh, hello, Tim.
Well, you won't guess who came for supper last night.
Oh, you've got a cook, though, haven't you?
No, we had to sue Cook for stealing.
Well, there's nothing worse than a robbing cook.
Oh, yeah.
The kids cooked it on the new Argo. You know, there's so much that the oven can't do that the Argo can't. I'm absolutely adamant about it.
Yes, yes, yes. Did you give the kids orders like John peel the potatoes, Stephen fry the onions, Patrick Moore salt please, James boil the pig's head?
No, that was just a description. About your kids, haven't your Jeremy and Sean been working in sketch, Liz?
Yes, Sean operates the tumble dryer and Jeremy irons.
Well, I must say, you and Victoria certainly have a large family. Do you plan to Roger Moore?
No, but Victoria would. According to our bank manager, Michael, we can't really afford it, but I told Michael flatly...
What are you telling me? What are you
telling? I said cough up. I said, but you bank with Lloyds, don't you?
No, but Tony banks there. He says, they'll sting you just for saying good morning.
Oh, right. Tony. Have you seen this? I've got something very interesting in this innovations catalogue.
Well, that's a novelty. What is it?
It's a thing to help the kids keep their Toy Town characters tidy.
Ah, yes, you mean...
Yes, the noddy holder. Yes.
Well, cheerio. Cheerio.
Okay, well, it's high time we heard the team sing again now. They're going to sing with a round of censored songs. Over the years, many records have been banned by the BBC on the grounds they might offend public decency. These have included many such blatantly erotic titles as Je t'aime, moi non plus, Feeling Glad All Over, and of course, Tie Me Kangaroo Down. However, it's often possible to salvage an otherwise hopeless case by the simple omission of certain key words. Teams, I shall shortly ask you to sing certain questionable songs of my choosing, which I'd like you to self-censor to ensure there's nothing left to offend the sensitive ear. Piano accompaniment will be provided by none other than Colin Sell. Actually, we were all highly impressed to learn that back in the 80s, Bob Geldof asked Colin to go to Wembley for Band-Aid. But the chemists were shut, so he went to Boots and got his Barry and Graham, will you start, please, by censoring a Gene Pitney song for us?
Something's gotten hold of my... keeping my... and my... apart. Something's gotten into my... cutting its way through my like a knife, eating me up and eating me down, making me and making me frown. Something's gotten hold of my, dragging my to a beautiful. Yes, something has invaded my, painting my with a color so bright, changing the gray and changing the blue, scarlet for me and scarlet for you.
Okay, Tim and Tony, would you please censor a song from the Andrew Lloyd Webber canon?
Don't know how to him, what to do, how to him. I've been changed, yes, really changed, in these past few days. When I myself, I seem like someone else. Should I bring him down? Should I scream and should I speak of? Let my out. I never thought I'd come to. What's it all about?
you think it's rather funny?
Please.
I should, in this position, I'm the one who's always been so calm, so cool, no lovers running every show.
Well, we're fast approaching the end of the show, but it's just time to fit in a round of Fisherman's Book Club. So while Samantha nips out to enjoy a portion of local Winkles Insider, I'd like you to... I'd like you teams to suggest titles to suit a mail order book club for fishermen. Tony, will you start, please?
Far from the Madding Trout.
The Lord of the Flies by J.R. Hartley.
Catch 22.
There's a sequel to the Barchester Chronicles, which is the Crotchester Barnacle.
Is that by Anthony Scollop?
It is now.
The Sardinic Verses by Salman Rushdie.
Moll Flounders.
Captain Corelli's Manta Ray.
10 Rillington Place.
Sprat is a feminist issue.
Lady Chatterley's Lobster.
And if you don't fancy a book, there's always Top Shelf Prawn.
Three Men and a Bloater.
Great Exaggerations.
The Kipper and the Rose.
The Little Book of Clam.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as the grubby raincoat of time opens to reveal the upright Member of Parliament. And the categorical denial of destiny is swiftly followed by the resignation letter of fate. I notice it's the end of the show, so from the teams, Samantha, myself, and the good people of Plymouth, it's goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor, and Tony Hawkes have been given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.